to that man behind the curtain.
All that hate's gonna burn you up, kid.
Keeps me warm.
You'll put down your rock and I'll put down my sword and try and kill each other like civilized people.
Welcome to the Red 7 MovieCast, the official podcast of the Rouge Cinema. This is episode 14 for Monday, March 19th, 2018. I'm your host, Hemanth Naidu, and you can follow me on Twitter and on Letterboxd at HJNaidu. That's H-J-N-A-I-D-U. This week, I'm going to be talking about two films I watched. Justice League, the latest installment in the DC Extended Universe of films. And then Lady Bird, the new Greta Gerwig film that was up for 5 Oscars this year. So I'm actually recording this right now while in quite a bit of pain. Last episode I mentioned while I was on my trip to the Bahamas on the, I think it was on the 6th day we were there. I was out on the beach and stepped on a kind of a hidden stick under the sand and really tore up my left foot, the bottom of my left foot. So, I mean, it was a pretty big cut, but it looked like it was nothing that wasn't going to be, you know, that was going to be able to heal. It seemed like something that was going to be able to heal pretty quickly. But as the vacation went on, it wasn't getting any better. And so when we got back, which would have been, I think, 5 days after it happened, it was basically in the same condition it was when I had first cut it. So I went out to a Mediclinic to get it looked at, and they gave me a tetanus shot because, well, I couldn't remember the last time I had one, so they figured they'd better give me a booster just to make sure I was covered. And then they gave me some antibiotics to try and clear up the infection that was in there. And they said, you know, within 3 to 5 days, you should see quite a big difference. And I think I had a week's worth of pills. So after 5 days or 6 days of taking these pills, basically no change. It was just as sore it was as it was when the day that that the accident happened. And then, yeah, it was just as swollen, just as painful, and it looked just as bad. So today I dropped off the kids at school and I went into the Mediclinic again to get it looked at again, and yeah, they just said, well, I guess we'll try some different antibiotics and hopefully that works, and if they don't work, then basically we're gonna have to give you a different type of antibiotic via an IV. So that sounds pretty awesome. Hopefully it doesn't come to that. So hopefully this new set of antibiotics clears it all up and hopefully I'm done with this. So yeah, when that happened, the day it happened right before I was going to go for a run on the beach, and obviously I didn't go for a run after that. So yeah, it's been almost 2 weeks since I've gone on a run, and I guess for a runner, that's pretty, you know, after a couple days of not going on a run, you know, getting off your routine and just missing a day, that, you know, that gets me feeling kind of off. I just feel off when I don't run, when I get outside my schedule. And now going on 2 weeks, I really feel, you know, really kind of out of sorts right now. And it's weird. I've only been running for a year, but once you get in that habit of running, you know, 4 times a week or whatever you're doing, 3-4 times a week. And when you get off that routine, it really, you know, it affects you. And yeah, you kind of get depressed, I guess. Depressed probably is not the right word, but you feel off and you feel just a little bit down. And so that's how I've been feeling basically for the last couple weeks. I'm more irritable, I think. And I mean, it has a lot to do because I'm in kind of a constant state of pain every time I walk. And even just when I'm sitting there or laying down, it's just kind of a constant pain in my foot. And it's quite a bad pain. It's actually, I mean, in the past, doctors and dentists, they've told me that I have a pretty high pain tolerance. Just, they've just noticed that with me. So the pain I'm feeling in my foot is actually, for me, it's quite painful. So it hasn't been the best 2 weeks here, but yeah, I've just not being able to run, I think that's adding to my irritability a bit. And so hopefully this new set of antibiotics clears everything up for me and I can get back into my routine. And yeah, I don't know how long it's going to take, but... And another crappy thing was I was planning on running in a half marathon in April in one of the races here, a local race. But there's no way that's going to happen now because it's been 2 weeks. I feel about the same as I did when it first happened. So, I'm thinking it's going to be at least another 2 weeks, possibly a month that, my foot's going to be a little bit, off. Even if it heals, it's still going to probably be pretty tender. So I think that race is out of my, I guess it's just not going to happen, I guess. But there's a few more this year. So, I might be able to do some later in the summer. The reason I wanted to do this one in April is because it's just not very hot out yet. And, running it when it's more of a comfortable temperature, that just sounds more, that sounds a lot easier to me or just a lot more enjoyable because when it's really hot out, 30 degrees or something like that, Celsius, I don't really want to run in that type of weather. So, see what happens. We'll just play it by ear, I guess. But yeah, at least I have lots of movies to watch, and that definitely takes my mind off of my foot for the most part. And yeah, there's been a lot of new movies coming out on Blu-ray. Kind of a bunch just kind of got released here in the last couple weeks. So I've kind of got a pile of new released Blu-rays here to get through. And yeah, so I watched a couple of those this week. And like I said, they're going to be Justice League and Lady Bird. So here is a clip from the trailer for Justice League, released in 2017.
After the death of Superman, violence, acts of war, and terrorism are all on the rise.
I had a dream. It was the end of the world.
Invasion.
I think it's something more. Something darker.
We're asking people we don't know to risk their lives.
Strong man is strong as alone. You ever heard that?
That's not a saying. That's the opposite of what the saying is. And
the dark.
Divided. We are not enough.
The world needs Superman.
I made him a promise.
This is why I brought you together.
Justice League is directed by Zack Snyder, written by Chris Terrio and Joss Whedon, starring Ben Affleck, Gal Gadot, Jason Momoa, and Ezra Miller. The description is, fueled by his restored faith in humanity and inspired by Superman's selfless act, Bruce Wayne and Diana Prince assemble a team of metahumans consisting of Barry Allen, Arthur Curry, and Victor Stone to face the catastrophic threat of Steppenwolf and the parademons who are on the hunt for three mother boxes on Earth. I watched this on Blu-ray in my theater. And yeah, so I am one of those rare fans of the current DCEU films. Not including Suicide Squad. I really dislike Suicide Squad. But Man of Steel and Batman v Superman, I enjoyed those quite a bit. I actually liked the direction that Zack Snyder was taking, these characters in this new universe. And I really liked just the dark tones that he set up in this movie and just kind of a serious take on all of it. And then Wonder Woman, I just thought that was just pure awesome. And I thought they had found a pretty good balance, between that dark and serious tone that they had defined in Man of Steel and in Batman v Superman. And then, that they kind of add a little bit more fun to the mix with Wonder Woman. There wasn't too much, but it was, you could tell it was a little bit more lighthearted. And I think Wonder Woman found a pretty good balance of that. And I really liked that. So I was really thinking that Justice League was going to continue along that kind of tone that they had with Wonder Woman. And so I was really looking forward to it. And then when the movie came out and the reviews started coming in, basically it was the same type of reviews that we were seeing for Man of Steel and for Batman v Superman. So despite those reviews, I was still looking forward to it, and I figured I was going to enjoy it because, you know, I thought it was just more of the same. Like, people just weren't liking the direction that the movie was, you know, those movies were going, and the same thing with Justice League. So I figured it was just going to be the same for me, and I'd probably find enjoyment in this. But then when I watched it, I don't know, Justice League just seemed like it just made totally out in left field, just made in a vacuum where, you know, the filmmaker didn't see any of the other three films, and it felt like it didn't belong, you know, in the tone or the, you know, in the sentiment that the first two were made in, with Superman, Man of Steel, and Batman v Superman, or with Wonder Woman. That just seemed like it did not fit anywhere in that universe. It just kind of felt kind of cheap to me, and it felt like it was really rushed or something. It kind of had, I don't know, dare I say, it kind of had a straight-to-video feel for me. Like, I don't know what, there's something about it, it just did not feel like a cinematic movie. It did not have a cinematic feel to me. I don't know, I was never really a comic book guy. I used to buy them quite a bit when I was a kid, but I actually very rarely read any of them. And when I did, I don't know, I didn't really get much out of the stories. They didn't do much for me. I think I just liked the idea of comic books as opposed to the comics themselves. But I do remember I did really like Justice League of America. I think that's what it was called back then, Justice League of America. And that was always the series that I'd always find myself being most interested in. And out of the Justice League, I really liked the Flash. He was always one of my favorite characters. So I was really looking forward to seeing how they did him in this film. I vaguely remember in the 90s, there was a TV series, I think it was on CBS, for the Flash. I vaguely remember it. But I do remember not really, I think I may have enjoyed it just because it was the Flash and it was a superhero, you know, TV show that really we weren't seeing a lot of back then. But I do remember it not being very good. But I don't know, it's must have been forgettable because I basically remember nothing of it. And I mean, in the 90s, I was easily old enough to remember it. I can't remember what part of the 90s it was in, but I mean, even in 1990, I was in grade 10. So I should have been old enough to remember this, but I mean, I remember nothing, so it must have been pretty forgettable. So Justice League, it was one that I was planning to see in theaters during its run, but I just never got around to it. But overall, man, I was pretty disappointed with this. But so before we get into the details of it, I did actually, after watching Justice League, I kind of had a itch to rewatch Batman v Superman because I was thinking maybe I'm misremembering that movie or something. Maybe Justice League was kind of feeling like Batman v Superman. So I rewatched that, and I didn't watch it in my theater or anything. I just watched it in our living room on the TV, and one of my kids was just sitting next to me playing on its Nintendo Switch. So I do consider it a rewatch because I did actually, you know, pay attention and watch it. I wasn't doing something else while watching, but it was not in my theater. So I think I liked it. Actually, Batman v Superman, I think I actually liked more this time around. And I don't know, it just, as I was watching it, like basically 10 minutes in, I was saying, yeah, this feels completely different than Justice League. It just feels like a different type of film. It was just on a different level cinematically and tonally. And yeah, as the movie kept going on, I was just getting more and more disappointed with Justice League. And yeah, it just, you know, it felt like they totally took Justice League down that Marvel path. They were just, okay, they were seeing how well Marvel films are doing, and then, you know, there's that tone of Marvel movies where everything's, I mean, they have a serious tone, but there's a ton of, you know, ton of lightheartedness in there, a ton of comedy, and I think that's what they tried to do with Justice League. And I don't know, it just totally felt manufactured, it felt fake. And something I liked about Batman v Superman was that I like how it was reflective of the time we're currently living in. So I think, I don't know, if you think about it, I think if Superman were to come to Earth today, like in today's world, I think people would react exactly like they did in that Batman v Superman movie. I think it'd be a ton of suspicion around him. I think, you know, once we saw the power of Superman, I think, you know, definitely people or governments or whoever would try and control that power, or, you know, try and quote unquote regulate him somehow. And I think it's really an accurate portrayal of how that would happen or how that would go down today. So I think a lot of people, a lot of people hate how Superman is portrayed in those movies, just because they're saying, you know, Superman is a character that is supposed to, you know, invoke a sense of hope within everyone and whatnot. And, you know, in today's world, we need stories like that where, and especially from Superman, we need him to be tell a story of, you know, instilling hope in all these people and in the audience and whatnot. But I don't know, that would be fine, I guess. But I think it's way more interesting to basically take that story and, you know, make it a reflection of the current world we're living in. And I think that's what those films did. And I think that is way more interesting. And I think that's probably why I enjoyed them so much. But so for Justice League, I mean, there's very little I liked about this film. So Aquaman and Cyborg, I knew a little bit about Aquaman going in before, and Cyborg I hadn't even heard of until we saw that first glimpse of him in Batman v Superman. But the funny thing is that those two characters in this film were actually probably my two favorite things about this movie, which is odd because when I was a kid, Aquaman I always thought was pretty lame, and I mean, I hadn't even heard of Cyborg, so it's pretty funny that these two are actually the ones that ended up being the most fun for me. I liked how Cyborg was portrayed. He's kind of like, he's basically a Frankenstein. He's, you know, someone who was put together, brought back to life, and he shouldn't be alive. And now he's basically contending with, you know, that internal struggle where he knows he should be dead, and he's, you know, he doesn't know how he should deal with this, you know, these powers he has, or just the idea of him being brought back from the dead. So I thought that was a pretty interesting take on it. And then Jason Momoa, he, as Aquaman, I thought was pretty cool. He was basically just like a surfer bro and, you know, total bro. And that definitely added a little bit of fun to the character. And I don't think it was over the top like Ezra Miller as the Flash. I think that character, you know, it had his moments in there. There was basically every line coming out of his mouth was some sort of comedic line. He was obviously there for comic relief, but I think it was taken a little bit too far with him, that some of the stuff just got to be a little much. But I think Jason Momoa's character as Aquaman, I think the comedy with him was, you know, it didn't go over the line, and I think it fit in well to the movie. And I mean, so another something else that was actually pretty good, right at the beginning of the movie, we kind of get a backstory on these mother stones. There's these three stones that are basically a MacGuffin, and we get a little bit of history of them and how they are related to the main villain in this movie, Steppenwolf. So at the beginning of the movie, we see this history of how this went down. I don't know, thousands of years ago, I'm going to say, sometime in the distant past. So basically, Steppenwolf comes and he's trying to get all the stones or whatever. And then we go to the present day where Steppenwolf returns, and basically these three stones have been split up amongst the three, what is it? Not factions, maybe factions or whatever. The three factions of Earth. So there's the Amazons, the Atlanteans, and then man. So we see early in the movie, we see Steppenwolf go and try and take the stone from the Amazons. So there's this whole scene where the Amazons are like, there's this big chase going on, and the Amazons are trying to keep the stone away from Steppenwolf. And there's just kind of like, there's this big chase on horses and on foot, and just there's a little bit of, there's just a lot of unique things they're doing to kind of keep the stone always ahead of Steppenwolf. And I thought that was a pretty good scene, and I had a lot of fun with that one. But I mean, beyond that, there's not much else that I liked about this movie. The general tone of the film, which I've already kind of touched on, they just added so much more humor into this movie, and they completely got away from that dark and serious tone that I liked that they had in the previous films. So, I mean, that's fine, I guess, but I think the humor that they added was just really bad for the most part. So I think I laughed like maybe one or two times, but the rest, it was just, I thought was mostly terrible. And it's pretty disappointing. It feels like they totally sold out to all the haters of the film. They just basically took everything the people who did not like these films said and basically revamped the entire Justice League movie to fit with what, you know, people were saying this film should be. And I mean, you can, yeah, I guess you want to make a movie that people like, but now I think what they did is they created a movie that no one likes. At least before, they did have these, they did have some fans of the, you know, their previous films. And I think now they just have no fans because Justice League was so terrible now that people like me who are fans of the other films, like, it doesn't feel like any of those films. So I no longer, I hated it. And then the people who are complaining about it before, I mean, it's the same reviews as before. So it just feels like no one likes it now. So I think I would just wish they would have kept on the path they were going, just stuck to their guns and just kept going instead of trying to be like Marvel films. Like, I enjoy Marvel films for what they are. They're fine. And I have fun with them. And yeah, I don't know. I don't know why they couldn't just say, you know, it's okay to be different. They don't have to, all superhero movies do not have to be exactly the same. So that's why I kind of appreciated these DC ones. They were doing something different. And so I'm kind of mad that happened because, like I said, I was enjoying the path we were going with these DC films. So like I mentioned, The Flash, he was way too goofy for me. And then you have Superman and Batman basically making terrible one-liner jokes now. Like, saw nothing like that in the previous films. I think maybe there was an odd little line in Batman v Superman when Wonder Woman first showed up and Superman says, "Is she with you?" to Batman. Batman's like, "Oh, I thought she was with you." Like, I mean, that's a little bit of a one-liner joke, but it didn't feel out of place really. But like, everything in this one now just feels totally out of place. It's weird seeing Superman making these stupid little one-liners and stupid faces. And I think it just totally broke the characters that they had built up in the previous films. They were just like completely different characters. And then I think a lot of this maybe could be attributed to Joss Whedon coming in to finish off the directing of the film. And you can definitely see tonal differences throughout the entire film. Like, you'll have these serious moments, then you'll have these goofy moments. And there's just total tonal dissonance in this movie. And I don't know how that was, you know, deemed to be any good. Like, I don't know if they just kind of edited it up and just said, screw it, this is what we're putting out there, or what, but it is not a consistent film. And yeah, as you watch it, you'll know that, you'll sense the differences in the tone. It's like you can basically pick out pieces that Joss Whedon wrote or that he directed, as opposed to stuff that Zack Snyder directed. Like, it's obvious. So the world that this is all set in, it just seems empty. It lacked any type of life, and it just kind of felt dead and artificial to me. It was weird. You're watching this movie, and you're in Gotham and Metropolis or wherever it is. Mostly Gotham, I think. And you're in downtown Gotham, and it's Chicago. You can tell it's Chicago, but you're in downtown Gotham in the middle of the day, and there's no people there. Like, there's no other people except for one police officer. It just makes no sense, and it just feels totally fake. And yeah, and then I think we're somewhere in Eastern Europe. I don't know if it was Russia or Czechoslovakia, but we see one family at the end, and the way this family is introduced is super confusing as well. Like, halfway into the movie, we're introduced to this family, and it's pretty confusing. You don't know what's going on, because there's, I mean, there's no real dialogue with them. There's nothing really going on with them, but we're just kind of introduced to this family. And they keep cutting back to them in the throughout the whole film. And you're thinking, well, okay, this family, they're going to have some significance. There's going to be something going on with these guys. You know, maybe is one of these people going to be another superhero or what? And then it just kind of, you keep cutting back to him until the end of the film. And then you basically realize there was just, you know, they were just showing us this family just to kind of give a human, or like, I guess give a face to, you know, all this destruction that was going on around them, just to show that, you know, how it's affecting the people. But it was just edited and introduced in such a weird way that it just added more confusion than like adding any type of feeling to the movie. So that whole piece was just, it was just brutal. And then something that usually comes up with superhero movies is, yeah, Steppenwolf as the villain. He's just basically another bad supervillain. I mean, bad as in like not well done supervillain. Basically seems exactly like Ares from Wonder Woman. Kind of just shows up out of nowhere at the beginning of the movie. I mean, they give us a little bit of history, but it's so convoluted. The explanation is so convoluted that I'm not even sure what that history was. But there's nothing interesting about him. His intentions are completely vacuous, as with so many other supervillains. And I don't know what he's going after, these mother stones, these three mother stones. I don't know what he's trying to do with them. I don't know what the deal is. And I mean, it basically comes down to that he's trying to destroy the Earth, or he's trying to make the Earth look like some other planet or something. It's just very unclear. You don't know what the motivations are. And it's just the same story we see over and over again. You know, they're trying to destroy the Earth, or they're trying to turn the Earth into something else. And I don't know, I always wonder, like, why do they have to turn the Earth into something else? Like, do they have it? You know how many planets are out in the universe? Like, why does it have to be Earth? They can, if they're going to totally kill everyone on the planet and totally destroy all the infrastructure and make it look like some other planet, hey man, why not just go to Mars and do it there? Like, why do you have to go? Why do you have to go to Earth and do this? Like, there's tons and millions of planets in the universe that are uninhabited. Why not just go do one of those without, you know, having to put up a fight for it? Like, it makes no sense. It's just, it's brutal. So, I mean, yeah, and then he seems especially bad as a villain because, I mean, I just saw Black Panther, and that movie had such a great villain that had clear motivations, and, you know, people could sympathize with that villain, and, you know, it could garner feelings from the audience, and we saw that you can have a good villain that, like, totally makes a movie that much better. And then you go and see this villain, and it's just like, oh my god, this is terrible. But not much more to say about the supervillain. Just bad. And then, yeah, I mean, for fans of Batman, basically, they're going to be disappointed in this movie, because Batman basically does nothing in this movie. He does no cool stuff. He has no cool stuff. He's basically stupid in this movie. He doesn't do anything smart. You know, at least in BBS, we saw him take the time to figure out how he can defeat Superman. He spent all this time, you know, experimenting with kryptonite and, you know, creating different weapons to take down Superman. So, I mean, we saw him, you know, doing what Batman does, like thinking and, you know, being a detective, trying to, you know, track down what's going on and where all this kryptonite came from and all that stuff. So we see Batman doing Batman things in BBS, and, you know, he basically outsmarts Superman to defeat him in BVS, but nothing like that in Justice League. He's just kind of around while everyone else does stuff. Yeah, I mean, he's, while everyone else is fighting the, you know, Steppenwolf and doing, you know, doing actual things, Superman's fighting, you know, one of those parademons and, you know, hanging out in the outskirts, not really doing anything. So I think fans of Batman are going to be really disappointed with how he's portrayed in this, and basically is just kind of like there to, you know, fill the role of Batman, but without actually doing anything. And then the action in this movie is basically bad as well. Other than that opening scene on Themyscira with the Amazons, like, there's no memorable action scene at all in this. The action all seemed kind of shot really close up. Very few wide shots of the action, so you never really can get a sense of what's going on with the action. And then basically, there's no stakes in any of the battles. I mean, everyone except Batman is pretty much indestructible, so you know nothing's going to happen to any of them. And there's no real teamwork kind of stuff going on, you know, with, at least with, you know, Avengers, we, you know, they took the time to kind of put scenes together where you can see how each of them are taking advantage of each other's, you know, powers and strengths and like kind of all working together as a team. And I think they maybe tried to do that here a little bit, but it just does not come off the same way as it did in Avengers. And it just seems a little bit clunky, I think. And I mean, we do see instances here in Justice League where there's, you know, one hero saving another hero, but then you're wondering, like, what are they saving them from? They just save this guy. Like, I think there's, what is it? Flash saves Wonder Woman and saves Wonder Woman while she's falling from a bridge, kind of like halfway down, he saves her. But I mean, just the scene before, we just saw Wonder Woman jump off some cliff higher than that bridge and land no problem. So like, yeah, and then there's scenes where boulders are falling on people. But just before that, like 2 minutes before that, we just saw them get thrown through like 10 feet of stone and come out unharmed. So like, just that type of stuff just makes no sense. And it really makes it difficult, you know, to get invested in any of that or feel any of the stakes, you know, if you know nothing's going to happen. So like, what am I watching this for? I mean, yeah, I mean, I think Avengers did a better job with the team stuff. But I mean, along the same lines of, you know, no stakes, like it was a kind of a similar feeling I had in Civil War where you knew no one was going to die. So what was the point of all of this, right? Like, what's the point of this big battle between all these guys when you know they're all still friends, they're all going to, you know, still get together. So it's just kind of seemed pointless and just a lot more of that here. So like I said, I watched BVS right after this, and during that battle with Doomsday where Superman, Wonder Woman, and Batman are taking him on, I think that was a way better instance of, you know, teamwork there than we saw in Justice League. I mean, at least when they were fighting him, there was actually some stakes to it because, I mean, Doomsday was basically a Kryptonian and, you know, had the same powers as Superman. So there were some stakes there, and we saw Superman die. So obviously, you know, there were stakes. And I think that scene, we saw a lot better teamwork between those three guys, you know, right at the end when they take him down, like Wonder Woman has Doomsday wrapped up in his lasso while Batman fires off some of that green kryptonite, whatever, smoke bomb that he blows up in his face to kind of stun him, and Superman flies in with that kryptonite spear and takes him down. So like, at least that has some type of teamwork in it, but yeah, nothing. You'd think we'd see more of that in Justice League, but nothing like that. And the effects basically in this movie were terrible too. It was very obvious that actors were standing in front of green screens. So I don't know if that maybe was just an effect of the Blu-ray. Sometimes that seems like that stuff is more obvious in a Blu-ray. So it could be that, like maybe in an actual film theater, maybe that didn't look so bad, but definitely in Blu-ray, it was very noticeable in many scenes. They just, you knew they were standing in front of a green screen, so that was pretty disappointing. And yeah, the CGI in this, the characters and battles, you know, like when they're doing the CGI battles for the characters, I mean, they looked extra rubbery in this, more so than usual. I mean, it's still in most action scenes when they have to go full CGI with the characters, I mean, you can tell they, you know, they don't have that sense, that full sense of weight that you think a real character would have. So, I mean, that stuff was there, but in this, in Justice League, it seemed extra bad, and it just seemed the characters were like kind of gumbo dolls or Gumby dolls, and they just seemed really rubbery. So I don't know what was with that. I don't know if they just gave up or what. I don't know. So Diane Lane and Abby Adams returned as Mama Kent and Lois Lane, and then they added J.K. Simmons as Commissioner Gordon. And basically, I mean, you got these three awesome actors, and basically they were completely wasted in this film. They had nothing to do, really. Maybe Lois Lane had a little bit. She had a little bit of a effect on one scene of the film, but I don't think it was necessary to have her there. I think they could have figured something else out. So basically, and especially J.K. Adams, like they bring this new character in and he does nothing except was kind of there for, a joke, I guess, where they were able to, you know, make a little cool joke with the Justice League and them and the Flash. Like, it was pretty brutal. So it was kind of sad to see, because I was kind of hyped to see J.K. Simmons. I remember the photos of him getting ready for Justice League. He was getting all ripped, and they had these photos of him in a gym, and he was just like completely ripped. So I was really wondering what they were going to have him doing in this movie, but turns out nothing. So I think from a sense of this review, you know that this movie is not something I would recommend. I mean, maybe a diehard DC fan might just find some joy in, you know, seeing the Justice League on screen, but I think, you know, if they were to watch it, I think they're going to be disappointed anyway. So, yeah, there's no reason to watch this movie. My rating for Justice League is 2 out of 5.
I hate California. I want to go to the East Coast.
I want to go where culture is, like
how
New
in the
York,
world did I raise such
or at least
snob.
Connecticut or New Hampshire,
well,
where writers live in the
get
woods.
Get into those schools anyway.
Mom!
You should just go to City College. You know, with your work ethic, just go to City College and then to jail and then back to City College, and then maybe you'd learn to pull yourself up and not expect everybody to do everything.
Lady Bird, is that your given name?
Yeah.
Why is it in quotes?
I gave it to myself. It's given to me by me.
Lady Bird always says that she lives on the wrong side of the tracks, but I always thought that was like a metaphor. But there are actual train tracks.
What she did was very baller. It was very anarchist.
Put the magazine back!
She has a big heart, your mom.
She's warm, but she's also kind of scary.
You can't be scary and warm.
I think you can. Your mom is.
So, you're not interested in any Catholic colleges?
No way. I want schools like Yale, but not Yale because I probably couldn't get in.
You definitely couldn't get in.
That was a clip from 2017's Lady Bird, written and directed by Greta Gerwig, starring Saoirse Ronan, Laurie Metcalf, and Tracy Letts. The description is, a California high school student plans to escape from her family in small town by going to college in New York. I watched this on Blu-ray in my theater. And this was film number 10 in my 52 films directed by women project. So this film had me totally engaged about 2 minutes in after it started. Everything about this film just felt real or authentic. I'm not sure what the right word is, but it just felt different than any other coming-of-age film that I've seen recently. And so when I think back to two other similar films I just recently watched, Edge of 17 and 13, I felt that this one was a little bit more grounded in reality, and I don't know, I just felt it to be a little more realistic and probably relatable for most people. So I think I mentioned in my 13 review that, I mean, even though I really liked that movie, I think a lot of the stuff that went down in that movie felt a little bit kind of too out there to be relatable for most people. And then Edge of 17, it was definitely closer to Lady Bird. But I think Christine, Lady Bird in this film, I think she was a much more likable character maybe than the character from 17. I can't remember her name. So the character from Edge of 17. So I think that helped me enjoy this film a little bit more, or actually a lot more. When that main character is more likable, I think, you know, I was able to, you know, get into this film a lot more, and I wasn't finding myself kind of, you know, getting irked as much. But this film, I think, yeah, it's genuinely funny. I laughed quite a bit during it, and for the most part, it's not done, you know, using gags or anything like that, like no setups of jokes. I mean, there's a couple things, but for the most part, it's just kind of just through natural conversation between the characters, and there's just their conversations and just some of the reactions and whatnot. I mean, it's just a lot of natural laughs, and I found it pretty funny. Really good time. So, I mean, this movie is basically about relationships, and each relationship that they cover in this movie, you know, it has some real oomph to them. They feel like they're actual real relationships, and they didn't have any kind of extra stuff in there, you know, just to, you know, they didn't attach any extra stuff in there just to kind of for the sake of the plot or to make the plot more interesting. They just felt like real people, real relationships. So the friendships felt like actual, you know, real relationships. And I can easily relate them to ones that I had when I was a kid or when I was that age. You know, you have your true friendships, the ones that you know, like, these are friendships that are going to last, you know, for your lifetime. And then you have some ones, you know, that you kind of force them. You know, they seemed like a friendship that you kind of wanted to have and you kind of forced it to happen, but it just never really clicked. So that, you know, I think this film really kind of captured that whole, you know, exploration of friendship and, you know, trying to, you know, show the differences of these types of relationships and friendships that kids have at that age. So the relationship with her mother is definitely the heart of this film. And, you know, neither of these characters, Lady Bird or her mother, you know, are made out to be villains or, you know, to be a bad person. But they do show us, you know, from both sides, just kind of this selfishness that both of them have. And, you know, Lady Bird is, you know, she's a teenager and all teenagers are basically, you know, they're selfish and, you know, they're trying to figure themselves out and, you know, they're the center of the universe and, like, they're just, that's how they are, right? Like, teenager is just selfish, everything's about them. And so we see that with Lady Bird, and we also, you know, we see with the mother, you know, she is selfish, or maybe not selfish, but just, I mean, maybe a bit, but she's also, you know, this stubborn, and they're just not listening to each other. And, you know, you're just kind of like, you're watching this and, like, just thinking to yourself, like, why don't you guys just listen to each other? You know, it makes no sense of what, you know, this fighting that's happening. It could, you know, if you just listen to each other, you can, you know, maybe come to an understanding. So I think that part of the movie was pretty awesome. And the part that really struck me about that relationship was, you know, the idea that a parent, you know, can love their child, but, you know, but they can also not like them. So, yeah, you're my kid and I will always love you, but, you know, I don't really like the person you are. You know, you're the type of person that I probably wouldn't spend time with, you know, but you're my kid. So, you know, I spend time with you, but, you know, I'm going to love you all the time. So that part of the movie, you know, that kind of theme, that really stuck with me for sure. And I really liked that aspect of it, because I've never really thought about that before of, yeah, you're going to always love your kid, but yeah, maybe you don't like your kid. That's totally valid, I guess, right? So this film, tons of great emotional scenes. There's a few that really, you know, stuck with me the most, and they struck me pretty good. There's a moment she has with her ex-boyfriend, you know, where he's trying to deal with this pretty big thing that's going on in his life. And just that moment between those two was just kind of touching and just kind of beautiful. And it just played out, you know, it wasn't non-predictable. I wasn't surprised that it happened, but just kind of the way it happened was really, I guess, organic would might be a good word for it. And just worked out really nice. And then in the air, the third act near the end there, there's this entire scene in the airport, and that pretty devastating scene. And it was definitely lots of tearing up moments. And, you know, that gut feeling that I've talked about before, you know, you get that feeling in your gut, and this movie definitely had plenty of those moments. So Laurie Metcalf as Lady Bird's mother in this is definitely awesome. And she totally deserved the Oscar nomination. So she was up for Best Supporting Actress, and she didn't win it, but, you know, the nomination was definitely well deserved. So her characters, you know, she has this sympathy to her, or you feel really sympathetic towards her because of what she's, you know, dealing with. Then there's a times where you're completely infuriated with her, just the way she speaks to Lady Bird. She doesn't give any confidence to her, and, you know, she just does not support her daughter's dreams. It's just kind of really brutal, and it's just really tough to watch, you know, her constantly kind of taking Lady Bird down a few notches, just trying to, like, whenever Lady Bird mentions, you know, this thing she wants to do or she hopes to do, and her mother, you know, basically telling her she's too stupid to do that, or not, she doesn't work hard enough to do any of that stuff, or, you know, it's pretty tough to watch, and it's pretty hard to understand a mother speaking like that to their child. I mean, I don't know, maybe that happens. It probably happens a lot more than what I would think, but I mean, from my experiences, I mean, that's a pretty brutal way to talk to your kid who is just getting ready to, you know, go out into the world as an adult. But then you totally, you know, you feel for her while she's trying to keep her family afloat. You know, she's working, you know, double shifts at her job and just trying to keep her family going while, you know, her husband and Lady Bird's dad, you know, is unemployed. And basically she just, you know, she's fighting with this while also, you know, dealing with this feeling that she has that, you know, no one has any, just no gratitude towards her for what's going on. And yeah, and then I think she acts a lot this way too, just because she, you know, Lady Bird wants to go away, so they're in Sacramento in California, and Lady Bird wants to go to an East Coast school, you know, some liberal arts type school, and, you know, hopefully in New York, she's thinking. And yeah, I think her mom just, you know, basically doesn't want her daughter to leave. She wants her daughter to be, you know, close by. So I think a lot of that is definitely part of the problem between the two of them. But the end of the film, I think the way it wraps up is pretty perfect. Just, you know, we get to see Lady Bird, you know, away from home. And in that short time that we see of her, you know, out on her own at college, kind of see a maturing of her. And, you know, we get this sense of loneliness from her. So, you know, she had been dreaming about being away for college. And now that she is away, you know, we can see that now that she's away, she's, you know, there's this sense of loneliness with her. And yeah, like in that, I don't think it's the final scene, but one of the final scenes where she's trying to deal, the way I took it, I don't know, it's not really obvious if that's what went down, but this is kind of how I read it, where so she's trying to deal with this loneliness, and then she goes to church, and I mean, I haven't mentioned this, but so while she's in high school, she's in a private Catholic school, so I think I get the sense that, you know, she's not really religious herself, or she doesn't really put much into that side of her life. But I mean, she's in a Catholic church being taught by nuns and priests and whatnot. And so, yeah, we see her now alone, and I think she's just feeling lonely, and she sees a church and she goes to church. And I think she just went there just because, you know, maybe church isn't important to her, but it was something that, you know, kind of gave her a connection to back home. And while she's in this church, I think she has some realizations about, you know, about back home and about her mother. And then we get a final scene where she calls home and talks to her mom. So I think it ended on a pretty good note. And I think we're at the point where we see, you know, her mom and her, you know, kind of maturing or coming to terms with each other and understanding that, you know, that who they are as people, they're actually quite similar, and I guess we could see some reconciliation happening there. This movie, I don't think there's anything I disliked about it. I liked it all. I don't even know how long it was. I think it was under 2 hours, but flew by. Really good pace. Engaged throughout the whole thing. There was no moment where I was feeling, you know, like feeling that I needed to look at my watch or just, you know, wondering when it was going to end. Just everything went through great, and I'm really looking forward to more Greta Gerwig stuff. I think they're calling this her directorial debut, but I think my understanding is she co-directed another movie with someone else. I'm not sure what it was. I can't remember the name of it, but yeah, I'm definitely look forward to seeing more from her. I think she's worked with Noah Baumbach quite a bit. I think she worked with him on Francis Ha. And I think she helped write some of his other stuff. I'm not quite sure. I didn't look into it much, but that's what I remember reading at some point. So yeah, looking forward to more from her. And I definitely recommend this to everyone. I think there's something there for everyone. I mean, it's about a teenage girl and her coming of age story, I guess. And I mean, you definitely don't have to be a teenage girl or a woman to enjoy this. There's lots here for everyone. And I think anyone who watches this is going to love it. My rating for Lady Bird is 5 out of 5. So next week, I am planning to watch Thor Ragnarok from Taika Waititi, and I think I'm going to finally get around to The Beguiled from Sofia Coppola. And if I get around to it, I don't know if I'll have the time. I'm going to try and maybe watch The Shape of Water as well. So that is the winner of the Best Picture Oscar this year from Guillermo del Toro. So those two for sure, and possibly the third. So that's it for episode 14 of the Red 7 MovieCast. You can find more episodes of this podcast at red7cast.com. You can subscribe on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, and TuneIn Radio. And if you really wanted to help me out, you could head over to iTunes, search up this podcast, and give me a rating and or a review. That could help me find new listeners, so that would be great. You can find me on Twitter and on Letterboxd at HJNaidu. That's H-J-N-A-I-D-U. And until next time, just keep watching movies. Bye.